Echev of the learning tonight continues to be, first of all, for the Refuah Shleima, for Adiv Klein, Joe Klein's nephew. We need a daven for it, need refuahs. Bez Hashem, it's the month of Iyar, the month of Ani Hashem Rofecha. Bez Hashem, a big month of refuahs and yeshuahs for Eitan, Naftali, Ben Yael Bracha, for refuah, Bekar of Mamish, Bez Hashem.
Amen.
The Torah tonight as well has to be L'nishmas. So many titles you could give: Rosh Hashiva, Tzadik, Gadol, Mamish, the builder of our entire community, the builder of Torah Jewry in the Five Towns and for Rockaway. Unquestionably was one individual. It's interesting. If you look at most places, you probably can't just point to one person and say, that's the person that built this whole community. That's the person who built Yiddishkeit in this community. I don't know if you could do that with Brooklyn or Manhattan or Teaneck or Psaic. I don't know, Chesish, whatever else you look at. With the Five Towns of Rockaway, one of the biggest makomos of Yiddishkeit in the world, of Torah, Bavodas Hashem, we could look at one person as the builder, responsible for it all. Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zeicher Tzadik Kaddish Levracha. Rav Moreinu Rabbeinu, Rav Binyamin Ben Moreinu Rabbeinu, Rav Yaakov, Zatzal, who we all know was Nifter this past Erev Shabbos Kodesh 1 week ago. We're still in the midst of Shiva, the Mishpacha is getting up tomorrow morning. And all the Torah should be Lila Nishmaso. Mamish, everything we have here, we owe to the Rosh Hashiva, we owe to Rabbi Yamin. The past Sunday morning was the Levaya. And I had a big dilemma, Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. And throughout Shabbos, I was even thinking about it, even though I was trying not to. Not supposed to think of that such a Yanim. Because I was scheduled to speak in She'ifa, in the women's seminary, this past Sunday morning. And pump, exactly when the Levaya was. And I had this vada, I mean, if you weren't at the Levaya and you live in this community, you have to ask yourself why you weren't. We won't give toichacha right now, although maybe we should. But I happened not just to be someone in this community, I happened to have this chus to be close with Rabbi Yamin. I went to South Shore as a Talmud, and a Talmud of his, and continued that kesher, adayam azeh. Had this chus to daven with him for so many years in the shtibel Shabbos morning. Had this chus matzei Shabbos kodesh very often to drive him home after Shabbos kodesh. And it was very. I'm scheduled to say this shir in Shifa, but then to miss the levaya of the gadol ador of this community. So levaya I knew would go very long, and I just thought about it for a moment, to go and to say I'm not coming and to cause a lacking of Torah for 60, 65, whatever it was, women. And I thought for a moment, what would Rabbi Yamin want? Rabbi Yamin Vada would want that I should have this chus to spread Torah in his chus. That's what I did. But I started out, I'm telling you this, because I started out this year, and I said that we're here, and right now as we're here, there's a levaya going on of Binyamin Kamenetsky, and She'ifa Seminary may not understand it, may not know it, you might not know how, but its existence also is owed to Rabbi Binyamin. There's nothing in this community that's existence is not owed to Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky. Not that necessarily you might understand how, but it was, because without all that he built, nothing else would have been built off of. You can't build any building without a strong foundation, and he built the foundation. He started South Shore, he started TAG, he started the Young Israel of Woodmere. He was a driving force on some level as well behind the Young Israel Lawrence Cedarist and many other institutions. Obviously, Yeshiva Gedola, Five Towns, and obviously Ataris Yaakov, which are all offshoots of South Shore. But he was involved in the beginning of every yeshiva. I was at the Shiva House today. His daughter, Rebbe Noble, we were talking. She was telling me and explaining to me how he had his hand in agency to help and to Chvesnish, to Rambam, to everything, DRS, everything he was involved. We owe everything, everything that's anything to him. And he's a walking chizik to each and every one of us. He's a walking, you know, there's the famous story. I happened to write this up. I'm working, trying to finish off for my daughter's bat mitzvah. Mitzvah Shem, we're celebrating in another 2 weeks, finishing off the Sefer and Shemos, finally. And the story, it's a famous story, it's written up already, but I have a little extra caveat to tell. So I was writing it up, I wrote it up in the Sefer a while ago, a few months ago, and I had to go back this week and rewrite it in a different way, in the past tense, about Rav Binyamin. The famous story goes how at his bar mitzvah, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Gadol Hadar, got up and spoke and said to Rav Binyamin, I want to present you with the most precious gift in the world. And what does he present him with? You all know it. He presents him with a watch. He says, there's nothing more precious in the world than time. A few years ago, a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, my chavrusa, my oldest of friends, we were in Sasha together, Binyamin Sharf. He was very, very close with Binyamin. And he was driving him somewhere and he asked him about the story. He wanted to know, you know, sometimes you see these stories in books. Is it authentic? Is it true? Here you're with. So he asked Rabbi Binyamin, you know, did this really happen? Was this sort of this, you know, some arch scroll author decided that we're going to come up with a good story? Which, so Rabbi Binyamin said, no, it's a true story to MS. So he's driving home and said, I want to come see the watch. It's such a famous story. So Rabbi Binyamin looks at him and starts laughing. And says, I lost the watch years ago. He may have lost the watch, but the message, he lived mamish ad yom petiraso. He was an individual 93 years old. Until the last moment of his life, he was accomplishing. Non-stop caring about others, doing for others. There's so many stories. There are so many stories said over the Levaya. I think it was his son, Rav Tzvi, said over, says, what's the difference between a young man and an old man? When does a young man become an old man? He says, an old man becomes an old man. The definition of an old man is someone that's always talking about the past, what he accomplished, what he did then, telling stories of the past. A young man is looking to the future. He says, my father never became an old man. He was always trying to, he always had ideas, always wanting to do more, wanting to accomplish. Mamish had yom p'ti raso. Nothing slowed him down. We all know 6-7 years ago, we had a terrible fall. Doctors thought that was going to be it. And Nisim Gluyim, literally Nisim Gluyim, he lived and he continued, like incredibly. Wouldn't miss a minion, not just miss a minion, wouldn't, Rav Mordechai, Rav Matl, Mati, many of us know, is the Rashiva of Sasher now, he told her, people used to pick him up, to drive him to minion, but if someone was running late, someone else, he didn't want to ever be late to a minion, he always wanted to be early to a minion. So what would he do? He'd go outside, and he'd stick out his hand and hitch a ride. He'd hitch a ride. Whoever was driving down Barnard Avenue, he'd pick up if you're driving in a shul, whoever it was. We all done it at some point in our life. I mean, driven him, not necessarily. A friend of mine didn't even. Shouldn't say such a story, but okay. One time, a close friend of mine was by. Is this appropriate? You'll hear. Was at a shiva house. And in walks Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, and they're talking. And then he asked Rav Binyamin, he came in by himself, he says, how'd you get here? How'd you get to the house? So what do you mean? I used the finger. That's my friend, like, what did he do? No, he went like this, he showed him like this, like the hitch, you know? That's what he would do. In fact, Rav Mati Kamenetsky said that he was one time, he was driving, he gets to his father's house, and the garbage truck is there. The garbage truck, and they're taking the garbage. And everyone knew Rav Binyamin for years. There was no one in the community, Jewish or non-Jewish. And the garbage man, he sees Rav Mati, says, you know, I want you to know, last week, we gave a ride to your father's synagogue. He went in the garbage truck. He went outside. He was hitching. They asked him, what are you doing? I need a ride. He went in the garbage truck to shul. Because he needed to get to shul. There's no stopping him. He's 90 years old. He's going in the garbage truck to shul. I was telling this to one of my friends. The bike came and told me he remembers that. He was in shul and he remembers Rav Binyamin telling him that. is doing for others. You can't even imagine what he did for others. It was when Rav Mati told over 3 years ago for his 90th birthday. Some of you might remember. I'm sure they made a big dinner, a very special dinner. Sal Shur made to celebrate his life and his achievements. And part of it was also obviously a fundraising. They wanted to burn the mortgage. It was a big thing. It was in all the papers. They wanted to get rid of the mortgage so they'll be financially in a better place. They needed to raise a large sum of money, maybe $3 million. I don't remember exactly what it was, the mortgage. So they went on a very big, and they had a marketing team telling them what to do, and they were told they made this special dinner. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you have to give $10,000 to have a seat at the dinner. You know, most dinners are a couple, $600, which is also a nice amount. To go to this dinner, you have to give $10,000, I believe. I'm not mistaken, it might have been five, but I think it was 10. Tremendous amount of money, and Baruch Hashem, they were matzliach, because for Binyamin, people would give. So Rav Mati says he went to the dinner, and it was all, obviously everybody there was very prestigious. Whoever's at they made it in some fancy hotel in the city, a place, whatever it was. And he's there, and he sees a guy walk in a disheveled looking shirt, not looking so nice, with about 10 pence in his pocket, a place. So Rav Mati nicely goes over and says, "Shalom Aleichem, welcome. What are you doing here?" You know, in a nice way. He says, "Oh, your father told me, invited me to come." Okay, fine. One person. A few minutes later, he sees another person like this. Clearly, a person Rav Mati knew. He knew the whole list who was supposed to be there. He goes over and says, "What are you doing? Oh, your father invited me to come." So he goes over to his father, Tati. "What's going on? What's he's here? He's here." He says, "Yeah, the first guy, he's looking for a job in real estate. So sad, he needs a job so bad. I knew there would be a lot of real estate moguls here. I told him he should come, I'll introduce him to some people. And the second guy, he's an electrician, and he needs work, and I knew that he told me so-and-so is going to be here, and he has a big company, and as he maybe could give him a job, I told him come, and I'll introduce him." Rav Mati says, "This fancy dinner became a job fair." That was Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky. And there's thousands of stories. It's a little, you know, that every kid had such love, everyone. I remember, I have such an image, I'll never like get out of my mind, of the shtiebel on Shabbos mornings. It will never leave my mind for the rest of my life, watching Shabbos morning, they take out the Sefer Torah, and Rav Binyamin, we'd be standing there right in front, he sat right next to the Rebbe, obviously, his brother-in-law, and he'd gather together all the little kids. And he'd gather all the little kids together, and he'd take them, and he'd have each and every one kiss the Sefer Torah, and you saw the simcha, and it was mamish, there was an aura, the Shekhinah was right there. Shekhinah was right there. So Mirz Hashem, all the Torah tonight should be Lila Nishmaso. So much more, we could continue to talk and talk about Rav Binyamin. But Mirz Hashem, he should be a male joysher for our entire community, for the entire world. He should be a kapara, the final kapara that the whole entire Welt needs until we're Zoyche, to be together with Tchis HaMesim, B'Jis Mashiach, B'Meher B'Yameinu. So Vada, to talk about how Rabbi Yamin Kamenetsky used every moment of his life, what an appropriate segue into understanding Yemei Svira on a deeper level. This special Zman, we're counting every day to make the most of every day. We're counting every day to remind us how important it is to be growing. The counting should be a trigger to make the most of every moment of Sviras HaOmer. How can we make the most of every moment of Sviras HaOmer? It's fleeting. We're already about halfway through. Mamish right now, we're Mamish right Bamsa. We counted tonight the 24th night of the Omer. We're Mamish right Bamsa. Right here in the middle. Halfway through already. Imagine. What have we gained? How have we grown? Have we been growing from these days? You gotta take off a cap to pour, I guess, right? So you know, when you want to understand something, whatever it is you want to understand in life, you always want to look at the makar. You want to look at the shoresh. You want to look at the root. You want to look at the beginning. That's how you can understand the essence of what anything is. We want to understand the depth of Sviras HaOmer. You have to look at the beginning, where it starts from, where it stems from. You're learning Chumash. You get to a word, you're not sure what the word means. What do? You look for the shoresh first, right? You look for the root. The root is where it begins. And then there's an offspring from there. But you first focus on the shoresh and try to understand that. Then you can figure out the rest. You want to understand Sviras HaOmer, we have to look at the beginning. I saw a quote. It's a quote from an interesting individual, from Bruce Lee. Whoever knows who Bruce Lee is? Never heard of Bruce Lee?
Uh-huh.
You heard of Bruce Lee, Max. Yeah, you would hear of Bruce Lee. Who's Bruce Lee? He was a martial artist. He was a martial artist, like a specialist in martial arts. Who was an actor. He had all these films with karate, chesnesh, you know, that kind of stuff. True, also true. But he once said the following quote. Listen, it's a very beautiful quote, very deep quote. He said, "Seek to understand the root. It is futile to argue as to which single leaf, which design of branch, or which attractive flower you like. When you understand the root, you understand all its blossomings." So we have to understand the Shoresh. We have to understand the root of Sfiras Omer. So where's the root of Sfiras Omer? So we open up a parashas. We open up the Chumash, and we open up parashas Emor, Perachov Gimel, Pasuk Tasvav. We're saying this pasuk every single day when we count in the Shem Yichud. If we're saying the Shem Yichud, it's all another Torah. It's kedai to say the Shem Yichud.
No.
For those who celebrate Lag BaOmer. So the pasuk says, "Usvartem lechem." We all know the pasuk. "Usvartem lechem." Mimochras haShabbos, miYom Aviyachem es Omer Tzmulpa Shabbos Shabbos as Tzmulpas Tiena. You have to count mimochras haShabbos. So people read this pasuk and they think it's just telling us where to start. Yeah, Vad is telling us where to start, but where we start is the Shoresh. Where we start is the root. It's telling us something so much more than just when to start. Tells us we start Mimachar HaShabbos. Now we all know, first of all, and this also adds to the understanding there must be a lot of amkas here, that Mimachar HaShabbos doesn't mean Mimachar HaShabbos at all. What does Mimachar HaShabbos mean? Mimachar HaYom Rishon Shel Pesach. It really means from the first day of Pesach, after the first day of Pesach, on the second night, we start counting. In Shul, by Ma'ariv, at the Seder, whatever it is, second Seder, right? We all know this. The Tzedukim who take the written Torah very literally, they don't believe in the oral Torah, they used to start counting Sfiras Omer always on a Sunday. They always counted Sfiras Omer Sunday, starting Sunday, Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, because it says Marchas Shabbos. They didn't believe in any Torah Shabbat Pat. That means Shabbos. Shavuos was always Shabbos. Shavuos was always on Sunday. Because whenever you start your Sfira, that's going to be Yom HaShavuos, obviously. That's the 50th day. But we know that means Yom Rishon Shel Pesach. So there has to be something deep. That's the Shoresh. That's the root. That's where it all begins. Now there has to be a deep reason. It can't be just Stam. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu decided in his Torah, in specifically here, to call Pesach Shabbos. It's very confusing. Shabbos is Shabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day of every week. Shabbos is not Pesach. Why is it that the Torah is calling Pesach Shabbos? Why specifically here, which seemingly is the springboard of Sfiras Omer? And perhaps we're going to suggest and understand that it could be that's the Shoresh. And that's what Sfiras Omer is all about. That's where it begins, and the Torah specifically is calling Pesach Shabbos to teach us a lesson in where all Sfiras Omer comes from. You hear? It's Big Torah. You ready for Big Torah? Sometimes Rabbi Hashem opens you to Torah that you've never seen before. You don't know why you've never seen them before. So here's a Torah that I learned for the first time this year from the Halakha Kedushas Levi, the Berditchever. We should sing the Berditchever to get ready for the Shaya. Okay, we'll just think about it. B'machshava. I hear exactly. We had that machshavas. So he says as follows. Listen to what the Berditchever says to understand why Pesach is called Shabbos, and we can understand what all Sfira is all about. He says, you look at Rashi, beginning of Kol HaTorah Kula. Rashi tells us, Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikereishis. The whole creation of the world, the God's Welt, everything in it, everything was created for what? For Bnei Yisrael. It was all created for all of us. Bishvili Nivra Olam. For Klal Yisrael, for Bnei Yisrael. You know how much Hashem loves each and every one of us? He created a whole world for us. Everything in it. All that's here. All the Gashmias, all the Ruchnias. all for us. Bishvili nivroilam. It's amazing. Imagine. Think about what the Eibishter created for me. Even this iPhone, he created for us. Okay, created for us to put the proper shmiras on it as well. That's why he created the shmiras. That's why he created iPhone with the proper way that you could do it and not put internet on it. He created it for us. Everything's created for us. It's amazing. That's the Torah and the Gemara of why a Nazir has to bring a Korban Chatas. He's not partaking in what? In the grapes. He's not partaking in Kiddush. He's not enjoying the world that Hashem created for him. For us, for Klal Yisrael. But when did that come to fruition? When did the world notice? When did we understand? When did we see that the entire Welt was created for us? The love, when did we see the love that Hashem truly has individually for Klal Yisrael, more so than the rest of the Welt, more so than the rest of the world? Only by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Until that point, we were just another nation of the rest of the world. Yes, Vade, individually, average Yaakov, had special relationships with Hashem, but on a global level, as a we weren't a nation yet even. We're just another one of the nations. It wasn't until Pesach, it wasn't until Yetzias Mitzrayim, that there came the fruition of the purpose of creation of the world. The world was created Bishvili Nivroilam, Bishvili Yisrael Shenikarashis for us, but we didn't see that till what? We go through and come to Pesach, and there's a Klal Yisrael, and there's 2 million people that are witnessing 10 Makos. Specifically for Bnei Yisrael. Did God ever do that for any other nation? And we know, Svarim explained how the Temakos are connected to Asara Ma'amaros that created the world. It's a recreation in a certain sense. For us. A Kriyas Yamsuf. For us. A drowning of the Mitzrim. For us. A Kabbalah's Torah. For us. We saw it so clearly. Finally, purpose of the world was realized. Was concretized. There was a culmination of the creation of the world in a certain sense. That happened Bereishis. So now let's think. Listen to what Kedushas Levi says. Every week we have Shabbos Kodesh. Oh, we're all so excited. Mirz Hashem. Tomorrow night, Shabbos Kodesh, another Shabbos Kodesh. What is Shabbos Kodesh? It's a celebration of the creation of the world, of the finishing of the creation. What do we say? Vayechulu Hashemayim Varet. What does Vayechulu mean? It's finished. Vayechal Kim Es Yom Eshvi. Vayechal Mikol Malachto. There's a finishing. There's a Vayechulu. But was it? Shabbos was the physical, the Kedushas Levi explains. Shabbos was the physical finishing of the world. Sheish Hashemay Bereishis finished. But that was only b'maisa, but b'machshava, the thought process of Bishvil Yisrael Shana Kareishis, when there was that culmination, Pesach. It wasn't until Pesach. So just like if Shabbos is Shabbos because of Vayechulu, the finishing of the maisa of creation of the world, the finishing of machshava is Pesach. And therefore it's called Shabbos as well. The Zohar says in his Hakdama that there's a Shabbos Ilah, and there's a Shabbos Tata. There's a Shabbos of the higher realm and a Shabbos of the lower realm. So in the Shvili Pinchas, he explains, I think it was in the Shvili Pinchas. Maybe this was Kedushas Levi as well. Maybe it was also Kedushas Levi. I don't remember. But I saw this, I saw that it's explained that the Shabbos Ilah, the Shabbos Tata, the Shabbos of this world, is the Shabbos that we call Shabbos, of the physical creation of the world. The Shabbos Ilah is when the Machshava was finished with his Pesach. So now we can understand, let's bring this all together, Chevra. And now let's understand. You know why specific? Now we understand why Pesach is called Shabbos, because it's another type of Shabbos, another form of Shabbos. It's the Shabbos of the finishing of the Machshavas of the world. But why is that the springboard? Why is that the Shoras of Sfiras Omer? Now let's understand something very deep and very special. Now, what means, what the Pasuk is telling us, we should come away from Pesach. Come away from Pesach as a feeling of Shabbos, recognizing all that Hashem does for us, recognizing that Hashem created it all for me, recognizing that Hashem's giving and giving and giving and giving to us everything, it's all for me. And then what's going to be the response of someone who deeply understands all that Hashem does for him? all I'm going to do is grow and be mevatel everything for Hashem. All I'm going to do is mevatel my life and be an eved Hashem and give to Hashem and want to do for Hashem. You know, the nisayon of life, what's so hard in life is being mevatel for Hashem. But it's easy. We get to a point, it's easy. To daven, I'm supposed to daven, I'll daven. To learn, I'll learn. To wear tzitzis, I'll learn tzitzis. But when it gets in the way of my personal needs, suddenly now, I'm gonna be moisir nefesh for Hashem. It's a little bit hard. I'm gonna be moisir nefesh for Hashem. Yidden who go daven and learn some, and then it comes to business to be an erelich yid. I'm not gonna go and steal a little bit and cheat a little bit and swindle this guy somehow, and nobody's gonna know how many yidden we have ending up in jail. Lo aleinu. Because they're not willing to be moisir nefesh for Hashem. Then it's moisir nefesh. I'm losing out. Losing out. You have lo aleinu, not anyone in this room, Baruch Hashem, we're past that. But how many teenagers, and I'm not talking the ones that are lo aleinu, we have to be mechazik so much to even keep Shabbos. But those who already hold of themselves to keep Shabbos, those who's important to keep Shabbos, they understand I'm going to keep Shabbos. They built, their parents ingrained it with them, the yeshiva's ingrained it with them. But last Shabbos, Kodesh, in the afternoon, some of you might know, some of you I know for sure know, there was a game on. The New York Rangers are in the playoffs. And it was an afternoon Shabbos afternoon game. So Chvesnish, the same guy who keeps Shabbos generally, suddenly, wait, I'm a big Ranger fan, and the Chvesnish, my housekeeper turned it on, or put it on a Shabbos clock, and just to sit there and watch. I need to watch it. That's why I'm not mevatel for Hashem, I'm not going to be moshe nefesh for Hashem. All Sfir Somer is to be growing every day, working ourselves. How do we grow in Avodah Hashem? Our growth comes from the ability to be willing to be Moshe Nefesh to Hashem, to be Mevatel Hashem. When am I going to be Moshe Nefesh for Hashem? When am I going to be Mevatel my life to Hashem? Only when I recognize all that He does for me. If I stopped and I recognize all that He does for me, if I really realize all that Hashem does for me, if I realize, how could I not be Moshe Nefesh everything for Hashem? How can I not give more to Hashem? So usvartem lechem, you know the building point of Sfiras Omer, usvartem lechem mimachras haShabbos. You want to really count and grow? Start from Pesach and recognize that it was a Shabbos. Recognize that it's a Shabbos of what? Of recognition of all that Hashem does for us. Then you can be Moser Nefesh. Then I'll give to Hashem. Then I'll sit and learn the Torah and I'll daven properly and I'll be Moser Nefesh for kol haTorah kula. I'll be mevatel to Eibishter in everything. You've vatal my whole life to Hashem. Said over in this Pesach, we'll repeat because very few in this room were there. Baruch Hashem, people were away in different places. We said over by Sudas Mashiach this year. We said over a story of a Yid who was willing to be mevatal to Hashem, be Moshe Nefesh to Hashem. Shabbos Kodesh. The Nazis, Yemach Shemam. They gathered together, Yidden from different Mekoymos into concentration camps, we all know. I'm not going to go through the whole. And a little bit later in the war, they finally got, and they were gathering together this a large group of women from France, from Paris. And they were gathered together in a Mekom, and they were sent on the cattle cars for a long journey. Overstuffed, few days journey, throughout the journey, person after person, dropping dead. And they finally arrive, the doors open up, all the women who are alive get off, and they have to line up, and as we all know, and a Nazi soldier gets and starts screaming and yelling and tells them the following, that you're all the lucky ones. You're going to live. For now. We brought you here to a work camp. See, we need women to sew uniforms for us. If you know how to sew, and you're willing to sew, and you're willing to work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, you'll live. Thank me for it. You're the lucky ones. He says, you all agree, every day, 14 hours a day, you're willing to do it? If not, there's another place for you. One woman comes forward, says, "Could I speak to you?" Takes the Nazi to the side and says, "Listen, I know what you're doing for us, and I'm willing, I could sew, and I want to work, and I'll work. But I'll only work 6 days a week. I'll only work 6 days a week. You see, the seventh day, that's Shabbos. And I keep Shabbos. And I'm not going to work on Shabbos." The Nazis are screaming, "Do you know what I'm doing for you? I'm offering you life." He says, "I understand, but I won't work on Shabbos." He says, "Get back into the formation." The soldier gets up in front of everybody. And the soldier says, "All of you will be working 7 days a week, 14 hours a day. All of you except for one. That woman, one day a week, she can rest. Because she's willing to risk her life. She's willing to give up her life for her God. I respect that. She doesn't have to work on Shabbos." And she didn't have to work on Shabbos. And she survived. And she became the Rebbetzin of Rav Aaron Leib Shtayman. So that's a story. You think, okay, did that really not? Last week was Yom HaShoah. Simcha Felder, Ethan Felder's Yisrael Uri Felder, Jesse Felder, their grandfather, came and spoke in DRS. And he told over how he remembers being in Amsterdam. And one day it was him and his mother, I believe, and a grandmother. And one day, they were always fearful of it, and finally happened. There were loud knocks at the door. Banging, open the door. A few Nazi soldiers with guns, with dogs. "Get your stuff together, you're coming with us." They were rounding up everybody to send them to the concentration camps. And his mother, with all menuchas and nefesh, looks at the Nazi soldier and says, "Listen, sir, I know we have to come with you, and we'll come with you, but not today, we'll come tomorrow." He says, "What are you talking about? You don't have the choice. You get your stuff right now, we're going." He says, no, today is Shabbos. We don't travel on Shabbos. We don't go on Shabbos." And the Nazi soldier looked at her and saw her sincerity and turned around and let them be for that day. And came back the next day to get them. And then many other nisim gluyim, and they all survived. Yidden that are willing to be moser nefesh for Hashem. And I'm not getting into right now the halachic ramifications and whether they did right or wrong. Obviously, we don't have to give up our lives for Shabbos, but at the same time, it's Shasa Shemad Vada. But they couldn't, there's no ability to not be moser nefesh for Hashem, not be mevatel Hashem. When one house, so when can you live such a life? When you recognize and you realize mimachras Hashabbos. When you realize all that Hashem does for us. Everything Hashem does for each and every one of us, which is the yisoid of why Pesach is called Shabbos, we're saying. Then I'm willing to give. Then I'm willing to be mevatel for the Eibishter. Do we know what Hashem does for us? You wake up in the morning and you're able to see. You're able to speak. You're able to hear. You're able to walk. Everyone in this room doesn't know Yidden that aren't able to walk. Everyone in this room doesn't know Yidden that aren't able to see. Priceless what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, priceless what Hashem does for us. So how can we not be Moshe Nefesh and just give and give and give to the Eibishter? Usfartim Lechem Mechus HaShabbos. We have to realize all Hashem does for us and realize how much more we have to do for Hashem. You know, last week we read Tazria Mitzorah. And we all know that when Yetzeras, you didn't go to a medical doctor, but you went to the spiritual doctor, to the Kohen, right? And the Kohen was able to look at it, and he was the Rofe Ruchnius, and know if you need how to heal you, or maybe he'll tell you, no, this is not Tzaras, go to a dermatologist, right? Kohen's the Rofe Neshama. Always when I think last those parshas, I always think about my Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Cohen. Baruch Hashem, I'll never forget for my whole life, when I was first year in Eretz Yisrael in Keren B'Yavne, It was January of that year. He came to visit our troll like he still does every year. And we were spending, we spent like the whole Erev Shabbos together, the whole Lel Shabbos together. I went with him to his son-in-law for the Suda, to Yaakov Moshe Katz. We were walking Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, we were walking around Mei Sharim. We were talking, and somehow we got into discussion of what I plan on doing with my life as far as Parnassah was, as far as professionally. And at that point in my life, and until that point in my life, my whole high school career, and until that point, I thought I was going to be a doctor. I always thought I was going to be a doctor. I always had the utmost respect for doctors. I still do. I just thought that's, I'm going to be a doctor. I want to help people in that way, give to people, give over my life in such a way to giving to others. Never in the slightest, never the slightest moment thought about Rabbanus or Chinuch. There wasn't something part of the equation. So my Rebbe looks at me. I'll never forget, he stopped. And he looks at me, he says, Aryeh, now Rabbi Yisrael Cohen's a Kayin, I'm a Kayin. He says, it's not so pashit being a Kayin and becoming a doctor, a lot of shailas, medical school, and just in general. Pistama, it's not, if you're a Kayin and for you it's not, it's, I don't think it's your avodah to be I don't think it's your avodah to be a doctor. He said, Bavad, it's true, you should be a Roife. You're right, you're supposed to be a Roife, to give to people, to care for people, to be there for people. But I don't think a Roife aguf. I think you're supposed to be a Roife neshama. I still have those words in my heart, and Baruch Hashem, I'm sitting here now. So the Kohen, I happen to be a Kohen as well, is the Reif Neshama, looks, sees, this has the Tzaras. And the Mishnah Nagam says, if a Kohen is blind in one eye, a Kohen who's blind in one eye, can't look at Tzaras. Lama lo? Try it right now, try. Cover one of your eyes and look. So obviously that blurs, and that is a detriment to one's vision to be seeing to whatever side that your eye is blind in. But Lamais, if you're looking at something right in front of you, if you're looking at a piece of paper, you're looking at a picture, you're looking at whatever it is, one eye, two eyes, you see just as clearly. There's no detriment. So you're blind in one eye, so what? Comes the Halig Emer Yosef and he explains, you know what it means to be blind in one eye? See, every Yid has to have two eyes, every moment of their life. You have to have one hashkaf, a zachayim, one outlook, one eye has to be seeing the godless of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and all that he does for me, all that he's giving to me, all that he's doing for me, his godless, his greatness in this world. And with one eye, shiflus ha'adam, one eye realizing how low I am and how much more I have to do for Hashem. There has to be a constant synthesis of the two. I recognize all that Hashem does for me, so I have to do more and more and more for Hashem. That's the eye a kohen has to have to look at someone who's lowly, like Putzaras, and inspire them, be upon them. And that's how each and every one of us has to grow. Out of the 49th level of Tumah, to be right to receive the Heilige Torah. To realize how much Hashem loves us, we'll love Him back, we'll do for Him, we'll grow. The emes is, it's hard to be mevatel to Hashem sometimes. It's hard to be much a nefesh to Hashem sometimes. Sometimes we forget what we're talking about. Sometimes our yitzhara gets the best of us. Sometimes it's hard to, let's be real, we don't see Hashem in front of us 24/7. So maybe that's why during Sfiras Omer there's such a focus on Beit Adam Chavero. As we know, right? That's why the 24,000 Talmidim of Kiva perished during this time. Shalom Kavadel is there. We're supposed to be learning Pirkei Avos. Because in order to be mevatel Hashem, I have to be first willing to be mevatel to another person. I have to be first willing to be there for another person. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, a very famous pasuk, which really so much so describes what our Bein Adam L'Chaver should be. K'mayim panim l'panim kim leiv adam l'adam. To recognize the way we treat others is the way we're going to be treated. Just like when you look into the water, there's a mirror that looks right back at you, so too I treat someone a certain way, that's how they're going to treat me back. Pasuk in Mishlei, you have to ask. Shlomo HaMelech, he's writing such a pasuk. Why do you use the water as the example, as the mashal? Why not a mirror? If I asked anyone in the room prior to this pasuk and explaining, what's the best example of something that gives a reflection? What's the best example of something that gives a reflection? You say a mirror. Why does Shlomo HaMelech say, K'mayim panim apanim, using water? It's true, when I look in water, it could give it a reflection, but it's a little more difficult, it's a little harder, it's not always, it's not like looking in a mirror. Listen to this. I don't remember where I saw this Torah. It's years ago. Mom is tremendous. It says, when you look in a mirror to look at your reflection, you'd be standing up straight, I look in the mirror, you look right back at yourself. In order to look into water, I have to first bend over. I have to first lower myself. That's the way we look at another person. Kamayim panim al panim. We have to be willing to lower ourselves. We have to be willing to mevat ourselves, to be moiser nefesh. Not that I'm higher than anyone else. It's like the famous story of the Rupshitzer. I'm sure I've shared this before with Shkadai, right?
It's it. Tomorrow.
Is it Arkadish? Tonight or tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night,
the Hilger Rupshitzer. See, of course we're going to say Rupshitzer tonight. Yeah. See how everything's Rashkacha? Of course we're going to say something from the Rupshitzer. That's the word from the Pais, was from the Rupshitzer. Mm-hmm. So it's a famous story when the Ramtali Rupshitzer, you know the story? Show me Chassin, I used to walk in for the story. It's worth everything. I mean it. He was 3 years old. And his father sent him to Malamed to learn how to read. And Malamed is teaching him how to read. And he's teaching him letters, teaching him how to read, and teaches him, and he'd see two yuds. You don't pronounce them as you see them. It's Shem Hashem. You have to say Shem Hashem. You don't pronounce it, right? We all know. But he's teaching him also, if you say Hashem's name when you're not supposed to, it's terrible. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name in vain. Oh, okay. Next day, Rabbi Tali comes, he says, tells Rabbi, I've been chazering, I've been reviewing. He says, okay, open up. He gets the first pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar Hashem. This Rebbe looks at him. Naftali, you're not allowed to say Hashem's name. I taught you this yesterday. What do you mean? He says, Rebbe, what do you mean? You taught me when there are two yuds next to each other, it's Hashem's name. At the end of the pasuk, if you look at the end of any pasuk in the Chumash, it has two little dots. He says, oh, it's two little yuds. It looks like two little yuds at the end of the pasuk. Says Rebbe, says back, Naftali, a yud is like a little, is like a yid. A yud and a yid, they sound right? It's like a little yidla. He says, when do you have Hashem? If you have two yidin, one is next to each other, two yuds, one's next to each other, one mamish next to each other, none higher than the other. It's like Kadosh Baruch Hu's there, then Hashem will be there. But when you have one yid and one's on top of another, Hashem never wants to be present there. Chas v'shalom, we should ever feel that we're better than, we'll be above another yidin. We have to lower ourselves to other yidin. We have to be mevatel to the yidin. If I'm mevatel to the yidin, then I'll be mevatel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is what we're saying, all of Sphere is about, and all of growth is about. And if I recognize all that Hashem does for me, vad, I'll do it. I think maybe that's pshat in following. I saw in the B'nai Saskar, I'm sure many of you have seen this, maybe in other svarim, that Iyar stands for, could stand for Rashi Tevos, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Rachel. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Rachel. So it's thinking, okay, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Shal Shavos. What's this Chus Rachel specifically to Iyar? What about Sarah? What about Rifkulo? What about Leah? So what was the goddess of Rachel? We all know. Rachel was completely mevat herself to her sister, to Leah. Rachel says, I'm Moshe Nefesh. I have the man of my dreams. I'm waiting to marry. I'm going to give it all to my sister. Who would do such a thing? And that's what this whole month is about, to be mevatel to others, to be Moshe Nefesh to others, because once I'm mevatel to others, like the Chinuch explains by Kivra Veim, if I'm willing to be mevatel to others, then I can be mevatel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then I'll come to this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it all stems again, so that's Vad, we have to work it in Ben Al-Khvero, but the Avodah is then that will bring us to be mevatel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all that we do. But the Maisim starts with Ben Al-Khvero. I want to read you a little excerpt. I've read from this, I probably read this excerpt before. There's a lot of excerpts I read in this book. I've spoken about this book before. It's one of my most halig svarim. If you haven't read it yet, you're missing out. It's called Season of Life by Jeffrey Marks. This author, Jeffrey Marks, who it says here is a Pulitzer Prize winner. See, he spent a year with a high school football team that was coached by this guy, Joe Ehrman. He was a former NFL player in the Baltimore Colts. You guys know what the Baltimore Colts are? You heard of that? Right? Oh, there you go. Okay, because it's the Jets. Joe Namath, right? Okay. So he played, he was a linebacker, I think an offensive linebacker, if I'm not mistaken. And he coaches his team and he teaches them way more about life than about football. And this book basically, he himself is like some Christian bishop or something, but he the book is it has half of our world, meaning you could, Ben Al Mochlero gets unbelievably, incredibly. Obviously, it's not going to understand Ben Al Mochlero. I'll read you just one page. The assistant coach, his name was Biff. So listen to this. Today's talk is called The Decision, Biff said. And I guarantee you, all of you will have to make it at some point in your life. And the decision is a man built for others or a man built for himself. He asked the boys to close their eyes for a minute. Keep them closed, Biff said. Think about what happens in the world when people make decisions. Man built for himself. Some of the great tragedies in the world happen when people make this decision. Biff named some of them. Greed happens. Businesses are run improperly. Young guys don't go to war to fight for freedom. They don't become policemen and firemen. Teams don't aspire to greatness. People don't bring all their talents. The quality of experience is eroded. Families break down. Husbands and wives go different ways. Children suffer. We could go on and on and on. Instead, Biff shifted gears. What happens when you decide to be a man built for others, he said. You strap on the oxygen tank and start climbing stairs to save people in the World Trade Center. When you're the CEO of a company, you make sure everybody has a living wage. Everybody has health insurance. Everybody is treated with dignity and respect. When you're a high school football player, you play every single snap as hard as you can with all your talents because you play not only for yourself but for everybody. As a father, you make sure that you focus on what your children need. You make sure there's no one ever treated better than the gal you marry. You do the things that you know you're supposed to do. Biff told the boys to open their eyes. He said that making the decision to be a man built for others really meant choosing to live by the guidelines espoused by the prophet Isaiah, in the verse summarized on the board. Biff slowly read the words out loud, treating them with reverence. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Biff said that those words are written on his father's tombstone, that someday he also wanted them spelled out on his own. Not his wallet was this big, he bought this many things. His football record was this. He had this kind of car, Biff said. I don't want any of that. None of it. Pointing to those last four lines on the board, Biff said, I want that. What it is to be mavatil for others. Because once we're mavatil for others, we can learn what it is to be mavatil for Hashem. If we could build that for recognizing all that Hashem does for us. Maybe that's why the famous question, all belief in Hashem, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, should be Anoich, all the Sfarim ask it, all the Mefarshim, Anoich Hashem Elokecha, should be Asher Berazi Shemayim Varetz. But what does it say? Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tesichem Eretzraim. It should be, I'm Hashem, I'll make God God more than anything else. He created the world. Asher Tesichem Eretzraim. Now we understand, based on the Torah of the Kedush Levi, it's one and the same. Because Asher Tesichem Eretzraim is the fruition of the creation of the world. And that's what's so much more meaningful to our Avodah Zarah Hashem. Because that's when we see all that Hashem does for us and we will then be doing for Him. And maybe that's the end of the pasuk in this week's parsha. A little bit from the parsha. Parsha Kedoshim has the famous pasuk, "Ve'haftal reicha kamocha." Love your friend as yourself. Give. Be mavato Hashem. Mavato to your friend. What's the last two words? Everyone stops there. There's two more words. Ani Hashem. When I'm willing to be mevatel to another, then I'll come to Ani Hashem Anoich Hashem Elokecha. Then I'll be willing to mevatel Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a big matana. If you take gematria of a half to l'recha kamocha Ani Hashem, is exactly gematria 907, exactly gematria zu hachana l'shvus. This is our preparation for Shavuos. Bez Hashem Baruch Hu shall be zeicha to count for your somer, not just to count but to grow. And the way to grow is Mimachras HaShabbos, to realize always all that Hashem does for us, and therefore be Mavatal for Him, be Mosin Nefesh for Him. But start with be Mavatal, Mosin Nefesh for others. He gave Shir tonight, Linishmas, for Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zatzal. He was someone who understood both of these ideas. He was Mavatal for every other person, he was Mavatal for Hashem. He was a walking role model, teaching every one of us. We should follow in his footsteps. In his chus, we zoicha to be reunited with Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.